You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 360. Today is Saturday, April 1st, and my name is Steve. And no joke, I am joined by both Hamilton and Curtis.
Hi.
Thank you.
Ooh, off to a roaring start.
And that's our one April Fool's thing.
Nice.
All right, so guys,
so you think.
Yeah, except for, you know, the regular
show. Stuff up,
yeah.
You see. So guys, in tonight's show, we'll wrap up spring training news, make our 2017 Braves prediction, and kick things off with David O'Brien of the AJC. But first, a quick break. We're very happy to be joined by the always terrific David O'Brien, the Braves beat writer for the AJC, and a must-follow on Twitter, at DOBrienAJC. David, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing, man? Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks. So I guess we got to start with SunTrust Park. What's your first impressions of the ballpark?
Very impressed. I had my doubts. You know, given the location and the suburbia and all that, if you want to call it that, and the battery, and it just seemed a lot of kind of pre-fit, prefab type of stuff that I'm not really into. But I tell you what, when I got there, and from the moment you walk up to it until you get in, and the whole thing, it's very impressive. They did a good job. They seemed to, what they, I think, did better than most have done is they went around to the best parks in baseball, of which there are many now. And they took the best aspect of, you know, at least what I could, from what I could tell, I noticed at least five or six different ballparks in there, the best part of those ballparks. So, I mean, and it was pretty obvious too. But they made it work together and combined it into, I think it'll be a ballpark that people are going to like for a long time. It's just a lot better ballpark than the Ted. I know Ted, Turner Field had a lot of, nostalgia for some people, and they hated seeing them go. And you know, you always like the park you go to and you grew up going to, but this is just a much better park, just aesthetically, but more importantly, facilities wise, it's just not even comparable. The Braves clubhouse and their facilities and the visiting clubhouse as well, but the workout rooms and batting cages and video rooms and training rooms and weight rooms are just phenomenal. I mean, there's really state of the art in that regard.
How did the traffic look? I know you probably were there early, but did you get any sense of that?
Well, it was terrible for me, but it was because I had to go on 285 now.
Sure.
I wouldn't have had to before. I would have just gone down 85 up 75 right to the ballpark, and it wouldn't have been bad for me at, you know, 2-3 in the afternoon like it's going to be now that I have to get on 285. But tough to gauge it on Friday. It was a Friday night, and spring break starting, and, you know, Friday traffic is in Atlanta, so I think everything was doubly bad. But I wouldn't be the person to judge on what it was like at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock going, because, you know, like I said, I got there early yesterday to look around, take a tour of it with some people. And it's going to be bad. I mean, you know, but it was terrible where it was. It's going to be probably worse, at least until they get 85 fixed, it's going to be worse. But, you know, for the people coming from the north, I'm not coming from up there, but those people aren't going to be affected by it, obviously. And people coming from the western half of the city, you know, Midtown and all that on the west part and down, you know, everything where you could just take 75 or get to 75 to take it, they're not going to be affected. Like, but anybody that had 85 as part of their route is obviously it brings 285 into the mess now, and that's that can never be good.
Sure. Well, let's move on to the field. So coming out of spring, and this might be a pretty obvious question given what we saw, but which of the big pitching prospects do you think will be the next guy up to fill a rotation spot?
Oh, the next to fill a spot. Well, that is a good question because, as a matter of is Freed going to be ready? I wouldn't put it past Freed to be ready by the end of the year, by late in the year, because he's by far and away the one that impressed me the most. He's phenomenal. But I think Newcomb is the guy probably that would be more likely to come up just because he's had so much more experience in the higher minors, and he made a lot of progress this spring too. He looked impressive at a couple starts. He looked really impressive. It was kind of like, oh, this is what they traded for and talked about being a top of the rotation type guy. So Newcomb might be the first one called up. I mean, you're not considering like Whistler. I don't think you are as big, one of the big prospects, right? If you are, then he will be because he's, you know, he could be up as minute. If anybody has a sore, you know, elbow or hamstring, he could be up. So, so long story short, I think Fried is the guy that by next year is going to be making an impact. And then Newcomb, if he makes the progress like he did this spring, then we could see him be the big left-hander at the top of a rotation like they thought he would be when they traded for him. Those two guys were both impressed. And other guys did, too. The pitching prospects that I saw all looked pretty good. It's just that Fried looks really, really good. He's got everything, man. I think he's the next great Braves pitcher.
So David, about Whistler, you know, he started terribly in the spring. His last two starts seemed pretty good from the box score. Did he look much better to you in person?
Yeah, he did. And all those weren't starts. Some of those were relief appearances. He got the two starts late because, you know, basically they were using they didn't want the main guys to have to travel long distance in buses, and their days fell on those trips. And they also wanted to get Whistler stretched out at that point, either that or send him to the minor league camp because he was making shorter appearances before that. But, yeah, he looked a lot better in his two starts. But he acknowledged he still got a lot of work to do, consistency being the main issue. You know, he kind of, it seems kind of like he loses focus or he tries too hard or whatever, but he gets out of his groove and all of a sudden an inning becomes a 5-run inning or a 3-run inning and, you know, things just fall apart on him. But so he's got to get consistent with his command and holding it all together, staying focused and aggressive.
So, David, focusing on the offense on the 25-man roster, what was the most encouraging thing you saw this spring?
Oh, probably Dansby before he got hurt, and after he got hurt, he had a couple of big games late. But before he got hurt, he was just he came to spring training looking like he did at his best last year, which is he's obviously the second year guy that so much attention will be focused on. Can he do what he did during his month and a half, 2 months up here? And because it's going to be a big role in that number two spot in front of Freddie and after the leadoff guy. So. I think Inciarte staying healthy, being healthy despite playing, you know, for almost the full extent of the WBC, they had to be a sigh of relief. You know, you never know with his hamstrings and that kind of thing in early season. To have him pushing it like that so early was a concern. But he was perfectly fine, so, and he's in great shape. And obviously Freddie Freeman, you know, hitting over 500 for the time that he was, you know, for over 40 at bats, spring training. It's always big. Somebody asked me, is it a concern that 20 of the 22 hits were singles? And I'm like, not at all, because you know, he's driving the ball hitting the ball the other way. And when he's doing that, it's only a matter of time before the home runs come. And then look at it last night. He pulls an absolute shot to right center to the deepest part of the park, just about, and a ball that would have been out in right center and at Turner Field, even though he said it wouldn't have been. It would have been. He crushed it. But those were good developments. And Sean Kemp, geez, my mind's on basketball still. Matt Kemp coming to camp in great shape and then showing what, you know, great shape can do for him because he's moving so much better. And he made a nice running catch last night in the outfield. And that was a big thing for him to show up. A statement for everybody, for the rest of the team to see how good a shape he's in, how much weight he lost the offseason, and how dedicated he is to this team and its cause right now, because he's a guy signed long term. It's not like he's in a contract year. He could have waited and done that a year or two from now if he wanted to get another big deal, but he really worked hard and came into camp in great shape and healthy and he had some big games late. He started really driving the ball, so and the power was evident from day one in batting practice. You know, if anything, he's stronger than he was, you know, when he was heavier. He looked really good.
And in that same Q&A with Coppy, he used the term quality and certainty when he was talking about why the team brought in the three new starting pitchers. And yeah, maybe we can give him that for Colon and Garcia, but R.A. Dickey has not looked really good all that much at all. So a lot of projections have Dickey around a 4.5 ERA this year. Do you have confidence in that number? Is that something you think he'll approach?
Well, his last night certainly helped in the confidence in that regard because he didn't have a good spring. He wasn't impressive in spring, but you never know. I've never watched a knuckleballer in spring training, and how will you evaluate that? Do you believe him when he says, because he was not at all concerned, said he was right where he needed to be, said he was working on things, throwing pitches he would never throw in certain counts during the season, and then last night he comes out and treats it more like a regular game and pitches two near perfect innings against the Yankees, and the knuckler really was, you know, moving, dancing. And I think that's a probably reasonable ERA. I wouldn't look for, you know, sub four, but you never know. He could do it. I just, like I said, I'm not comfortable evaluating a knuckleballer, and you could say that he clearly doesn't have anything left like you would someone that age, but with a knuckleballer, I don't think that the same standard really applies. I mean, he's a guy, he can't blow out his UCL because he doesn't have one. He's a freak in that regard. He does not have a collateral ligament. So you don't have to worry about Tommy John happening for over-pitching at a late age. And he's never relying on velocity, obviously. So maybe he can do it. Maybe he'll be fine. I'm like you. Garcia's the bigger. When they signed him, that was the one that, to me, I was the more concerned with, in that he's just pitched 130 innings one time in 5 years. So, but it's a contract year. He came in camp in great shape, and he bypassed the WBC, which was a big decision, because he really wanted to pitch for his native Mexico, because the games, their pool play was in Mexico. But he decided this was more important. This is a contract year. This is a new team. I want to impress. I don't want to risk injury by pitching too hard, too much, too early. And he had a couple of nice outings in spring training. And he had some bad ones too, but he had a couple of nice ones, really, really sharp outings where you saw everything that he can be when he's on. Because guys that have seen him a lot say that when this guy's healthy and he's on, he can be really tough. And the Braves have seen him a couple of times like that too. He can be a really good left-hander to have in that rotation, and another totally different look from what they've got. So I think it's all about health with him. If he stays healthy, I think he'll be perfectly fine, and the Braves could have a good trade piece in July if they're not in the race, and because there's certainly teams that would want a quality left-hander, playoff teams for the stretch drive.
All right, David, let's finish up with a rapid fire. So over under, Fulte's ERA at the end of the year, 4.25.
Under.
Over under. Yeah, he looked great this spring. I can't wait for
We didn't mention him. He looked really good this spring. And getting out of jams and not melting down in tough innings, that was big. I mean, mentally, he made a lot of progress since last year.
Over under, Freddie's home run total, 35.
Ooh, that's a lot. I think it'll be a lot, but I'm going to go under. 30 would be more better under over under for me, but probably under, but just by a little bit.
All right. Over under Matt Kemp's homers, 24.
Over. I think he's going to hit just a few more than that. Yeah, I think he and Freddie will probably be pretty close together, but we'll see. I think I'd go over.
All right, over under Dansby's batting average and on base percentage, 265, 325.
Oh, easy. Over. Both of them.
You know, so I took those numbers and actually raised them a little bit from the projections on FanGraphs.
Yeah.
We thought they were kind of low too, and so I'm with you.
Kids are sad, man. No doubt. He's got everything.
It's going to be exciting to get that
superstar. He's not a superstar 30-30 type guy. You know, he's not a Chipper Jones if people are ever thinking that statistically. But he's a stud as far as got all you want from a player to build around. You're never going to have to worry about. It's going to do all the little things. Going to do everything right. It does everything well. Doesn't have huge power. Doesn't have tremendous speed. But got really good speed. But man, I mean, he does everything as far as what you want in a quality at bat, situational hitting, pretty good power, real good average hitter, good on base percentage, really great defense. I think pretty close to great defensively. I mean, well above average, and I wasn't expecting him to be as good as he is defensively. comes into camp in great shape, works hard. I mean, he's and gets along well with everybody. I mean, he's just got a great – the way he carries himself is really impressive for a guy. I would say that young, but he's not that young. We forget he went to college, so he's older than most of these guys that are when they break in. But this is a – I'll be surprised if he's not here for a long time.
If only he were handsome, he'd be the complete package, David.
Yeah, I want to kill him, man. Look at that.
They should think about using him in some of their ads.
Oh, yeah. I think somebody should let them know that he probably would be a good marketing tool.
Yeah.
All right. They ain't crazy, man.
Yeah. All right, David, true or false, Adonis Garcia is the starting third baseman on July 1st?
July 1st. I don't know. Are we facing a righty or lefty that day?
I mean, do you think he really can put up the numbers and is going to remain, or is he going to get, you know, replaced by Ruiz or someone?
It won't surprise me if Ruiz is up by midsummer at some point, because he had a good spring, and he has progressed steadily from a guy that I kind of doubted at one point not too long ago to a guy that I think is going to be a good major league player, and you know, Garcia, it's just you never know what to expect. He surpassed, I think, expectations, obviously, to be the incumbent third baseman for the Braves, and he put up pretty decent numbers, below average for the position, obviously. And I think if he's not at least performing at that level or above, then Ruiz continues to make the progress that he made, you know, last year at AAA, then I don't think the Braves would hesitate to make that promotion. You know, he's not the. But I would certainly say by next year, Garcia is not the third baseman.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm confident in saying that. But if he gets off, you know, and hits with some power, and because he's down the order now, there's no pressure on him. But again, he's not going to have the RBI opportunities either. But he was never a two-hole hitter, even though he did okay in that spot. But he's where he belongs in the lineup now, so there won't be a lot of pressure on him. So I think that probably, if other guys hit in the lineup, it probably helps his chances in regards to being around on July 1st. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of focus on him now. He just has to hit, you know, just not be a black hole in the lineup at that point. So and play good defense, obviously. If the defense slips, then, you know, there'd be another reason. Ruiz is not a gold glover over there, but he's you know, he could be okay, and there won't be a – so I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to July 1st with Garcia. I'm not strong either way. I it's just not going to surprise me either way what happens. If I had to say, I'd say yes, just because July 1st is still relatively early in the season. But then again, it's not. It's halfway. So.
All right. David, true or false, Brandon Phillips is the starting second baseman the day after the trade deadline?
Oh, man. The day after the trade deadline? I'd say false. I think Brandon Phillips has really impressed. I didn't mention him when you asked about what have been the pleasant surprise, the best, most encouraging things or positives about the offense in spring training, but this guy, I don't know. He obviously fell out of favor with the Reds, with some decision makers, and said some things because they were struggling so bad. Things just got ugly there. But this guy can still play, man. He's 35, and he's in the best shape of anybody in camp. Works as hard as anybody. He's still got terrific bat speed. Drives the ball. And still a very good defensive player. I don't know what the metrics say. I know some people say that the metrics, he's not nearly what he used to be. But all I know is what I saw this spring, he looked pretty solid to me still defensively. And if he's average defensively, he's going to make some plays that make you go, wow, like a, you know, superstar. Because he can still make some sensational plays. And he's so fun to watch. But if I had to say the day after the deadline, I'd say Ozzie Albies will probably be up here. You know, they have to pay Phillips $500,000 to trade him. but they're only paying him $1 million this year, so that's a small price to pay. If you're, you know, you said again and again, Copy, I said that Albies will not, they will not, that Brandon Phillips and nothing else will keep Albies, will block him once he's ready. So I think by then, by the trade deadline, he's going to be ready because he, Albies looked pretty good this spring, better than I thought he would look so soon after elbow surgery.
Yeah. All right, David, let's finish with this. Over under, Braves wins for the season, 83.
Under. I'd have to go under. Not going to shock me if they get 83. You know, if they flirt with 500, go a little bit above, but I think they're more likely to be under 500 a little bit. Just because, like we mentioned, I'm not completely sold on the pitchers they brought in. I just think they're starting to show their age. I mean, at some point, Bartolo, we knew he was going to pitch like a 40-year-old. Well, he's almost 44. So I'm not expecting him to do what he's done the last 3 years. Now, maybe he'll surprise me, but I just haven't seen anything so far to indicate that. And that's a pretty big, you know, spot in the rotation. And Dickey has had one good outing out of five or six. So, and Garcia has to stay healthy. So that's a lot of things to ask for those three things to go right. And I don't think they're going to rush the prospects, as they said. And if you have to bring up Blair, you know, in Whistler, then you've kind of biked before you were last year. But I do like the lineup. They did play well, really well, in the second half last year, especially the last 2 months of the season. Again, September's always hard to judge. Don't want to put too much stock in September, good or bad. But if I had to say, I'd say probably between 77 and 80 would be more likely. And I think that would be a good season, too. I think if they improve from, you know, losing 95 and 93 games to winning, 75, what would that be, 87 losses? I think 77 wins, 85 losses would be pretty good after what they've done. And this is, you know, they're still rebuilding. There's no, make no doubt about that. And next year, we said all along, next year is the year we really expected them to be contenders, to be really good. And I stand by that. I think next year they're going to be really good. But in this year, I think they're going to be fun to watch. And which people laughed last year when they were so horrible early. They laughed when I said they were going to be fun to watch. Were they fun to watch after the first 50 games? I thought they were. I thought the last 100 games, they were a pretty fun team to watch when they went 50 and 47, too, in that stretch. But they did a lot of things that made them pretty enjoyable to watch, unlike the previous 2 years. So, and I think this year's team should have that from day one. They got great chemistry. They love playing together. They play hard, and they have some fun guys to watch. And those are, and more are going to trickle in if the things that we talked about. If some of those things happen, they're going to have, man, once they have that Ozzy and Dansby combination, it'll be fun to watch just because you know it's going to be there for a long time, or should be. But in the meantime, Dansby and
Phillips,
that dude, yeah, Phillips. Dansby and him are going to be great fun to watch, I think. They didn't get to work together a lot during the spring, but when they did, they made some really, really nice plays, double plays with Phillips starting them with all of his flips and all that he does, backwards flips and no-look passes, and he's enjoyable. So I think they're going to be a fun team to watch, but I think that's pushing it to say over 500.
All right, folks, read David throughout the season at the AJC and on Twitter. David, a pleasure as always. Enjoy the regular season, and we'll speak to you soon.
You got it, man. Thank you.
A few unfinished pieces of spring training to cover, but first, a quick break. Please help out the podcast by spreading the word, folks. Go out to iTunes and write a review. For those on Twitter, when we tweet a link to the show, please retweet it to your followers. And, of course, tell all your friends. We would really appreciate it. All right, so, guys, the last sort of remaining news out of spring training is that the bullpen will now be 7 and not 8. So with the Braves outriding lefty Kevin Chapman on Friday, the team will be going with two lefties, Ian Kroll and EOF, and the one remaining bullpen spot will either go, it looks like, to Chaz Rowe or David Hernandez. And for that now fifth spot on the bench, Mark Bowman tweeted on Friday that they may add a third catcher, presumably meaning Anthony Recker. I don't know, guys. All this stuff's going to be fluid. The bullpen's going to be fluid a lot. I, I just hope for the bench, it means that they're hope to that I hope it means they're close to acquiring another bat. You know, the Anthony Recker addition is not a real game changer.
Yeah. And I'm sort of surprised. I mean, I guess it's maybe a bigger story. The whole Paco Rodriguez thing was a little salacious, I guess, for lack of a better word. But I don't know if I'm smart enough to really know the big difference between a 7-man rotation and 8-man rotation. Time will tell. But I think you're right. Recker is certainly not the one where, like, God, thank goodness we're going with 7 to get his bat on the bench.
Yeah. And surely they're not thinking that, too. They just want to give Snitker a few more options, right? If you have Recker there, then the backup catcher that day can become a pinch hitter, or Recker can. You know, I mean, it gives them some more flexibility, but flexibility with mediocre pieces is, you know, only mediocre.
Is that Shakespeare?
Yes, yes.
I love when you get all literary.
So, guys, none of us were at the ballpark last night for the Yankees game and the opener of SunTrust Park, but we all watched a little bit of it on TV. Curtis, any initial thoughts on what you saw?
I think it looks cool. I'm excited to get out there. I don't really like whatever the sort of in the area in right field where they're all behind computer monitors or something. I didn't really
all those white seats beneath the hop house or something. Yeah.
Visually that did not look good. But yeah, I think it looks like a neat park. I'm excited to get out there. I'm excited to sort of experience it in person more so than on the TV. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting that they've got a new park. It's exciting that even if it was like you tweeted that it was a spring training game, that they christened it with a win. So
no doubt,
more good things to come, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the brick looks super cool. I like that there's not much foul territory, meaning that we're really going to be close to the action. I think those, you know, speaking of right field, there are seats there behind a screen in the right field wall underneath the brick. And I think I'd read somewhere that if it's not rented out for some special event or something, those are just open. So that'll be pretty cool too. Hammy, what were you going to say?
Well, I'm not, you know, obviously, the in-person experience, like Curtis said, is going to be different than the television experience. I have to say I was underwhelmed, disappointingly so. It just lacks character. You know, you play MLB, The Show, or something like that, and you see these iconic stadiums that are so instantly recognizable. And this is just not – there's nothing there. I mean, other stadiums have brick. So sure, that was nice, but it's not like, ooh, that's so iconic. It looked pretty sterile to me, the camera did, and I was disappointed. I mean, obviously, all the – ad placement. You can see Coke is prominently displayed and Chick-fil-A and all of our sponsor friends. But I wanted something that was more like, this is so obvious SunTrust Park, other than the sort of not great logo placement behind the right-handed batter, because the way the wall sort of breaks, it like breaks up the SunTrust logo.
I agree.
I hate the ad thing behind the left-handed batter from the pitchers. I mean, it just looks like it was like wheeled in and bolted on. It really not a lot of thought to it. So I don't want to hate on it. I think we saw it like Dansby. There was a thing online where he took us through the clubhouse and, you know, looked at the lounge and the media room, and that looked really cool. And obviously I think some of the amenities when you're there and walking around are going to be a great experience. But from a TV perspective, it was sort of bland, and it looked like a suburban mall that maybe was made with a lot
in Hammy.
Maybe that was made with a lot of Home Depot pieces. And maybe it was, since I'm sure they're a sponsor too.
You didn't find the big Comcast building outside the right field wall to be iconic and distinguishing?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I guess so. Wow, cool. Sky. Yeah.
I have no doubt, though, that it's going to be awesome, in person.
Sure.
I mean, I'm just sure it's going to look good. And God,
experience.
It's bright, finally. You know, I'm still scarred by the dim, no lighting in the outfield for 20 years at Turner Field.
Yeah, and the grass looks like neon green. It doesn't look like real grass almost. It's so, so green. But anyway, excited for it. Glad to have a win on our first game there, even though it didn't
count. How much more green could it be?
I don't know. I don't think any more.
All right,
green.
So guys, we're going to jump into some specific predictions for the year. But Ham, what's your general thoughts, your general excitement level about the team, about 2017 Braves?
I think it's abated since where I was mid off season. We did a couple of shows this past off season, and I was really excited. And I don't know, now as it's become more of a reality and really thinking about that, wow, R.A. Dickey is that I'm hoping that he pitches 200 innings. And I'm like, why am I hoping that? But that's sort of what our reality is. It's a long way to say I'm less excited. I'm really excited to get this team started. I'm excited to see if the offense can pick up where it did last season. I'm excited for the season that I think Folty's going to have, and hopefully for Tehran. I don't think this is the year. I don't think this is the year where we compete. So that's what I would say.
Well, I don't think it's the year either. Although
I did earlier. That's why. It's changed for me. Yeah. I thought we actually foolishly maybe had a shot at a wild card. If things went the right way, maybe there's some injuries to other teams in the division. And I just don't – that feels like a real long shot now.
Hear you. But on the flip side, it's not the most outrageous thing to consider that a bunch of things go right and they compete for the wild card. You know, if we really do get, let's call it 500 innings from the three new starting pitchers, and they all pitch as good or a little better as, you know, they have the past couple years. I mean, if that goes right, that could change the season. You know, and I think that Jaime Garcia is going to be, we've talked about Folty will be a big bright spot. I think that Jaime Garcia is going to be a big bright spot in the rotation too. You know what I mean? Like the other two guys are ancient and you know what they're getting out of him, but Jaime could be a real surprise.
Well, I mean, and not even a surprise, because you know, we know he has it in him. We've seen those seasons, but hopefully the bounce back would be something that was, pleasantly surprising. You're right. If you just think that Colon and Dickey are average inning eaters, and that's their ceiling, and that's what we're hoping for, and you hope that Folty and Tehran are the aces that they should be and could be, Garcia's really the wild card there and really could flip it one way or the other. If he has a 13 to 15 game win season, obviously that bodes well for the Braves, but it could also go. I could easily see it going the other direction. And the bullpen, I feel like, is more of a question mark. Even though EOF has looked really great, he had a great inning last night where he sort of shut down a bases-loaded situation. I feel like we're thin. I feel like we're maybe one – like any team, I guess, right? One or two injuries away from being a completely different team, both in the bullpen as well as on the offense.
Yeah, no, absolutely thin. But – if Dansby does what we think he can do, if Phillips is the 290, 330 slash guy that he has been his whole career, Markakis hits a few more home runs, Kemp does what, you know, he did the last 2 months in Atlanta, Freddie continues to take that extra jump that he took last year. God, it could be really exciting. And regardless, I'm so excited for a full year of Dansby.
Absolutely.
Curtis, what about you? What's standing out for you?
I think it's still just going to be a transition year to me. I'm excited about a lot of the pieces that you guys have brought up. The young players, certainly. It'll be fun to see some of these older players like Brandon Phillips and Colon and people like that. But, I mean, I'm not obviously pinning much long future hope in any of them. I'm sure you guys aren't either. But I think it's just going to be another transition year. We've sort of dressed it up some by bringing in some guys that they hope, Steve, as you mentioned, that some of these things are going to happen and they're going to push this team a little farther into the win column than they would be without them. But I still think that this is still part of the process. I think they've sort of rushed this and maybe sort of sold us a job that they're going to be a little better than they think they are. Maybe they're buying into that. But I mean, obviously, they can't go into a new park and say this team is not going to be competitive again. So I think we'll see some improvement in the win column, but I don't see that it's going to be dramatic, perhaps as dramatic as maybe you guys think it will. And I'm looking forward to sort of the next wave of players that are going to be coming through, Max Fried, whoever it might be, that as we sort of build up this team to be like a young all-star team for the Braves organization, sort of as the Cubs are now, that we get to watch that and experience that and watch that grow, sort of like we did with the Braves in the 90s. We had
you know, those teams had Terry Pendleton and Sid Bream and Charlie Liebrandt that sort of ushered them through to their ultimate success when they had really the full complement of these those young players, all those great young players from Braves lore together. And I'm looking forward to that. I don't see that that's going to come this year and maybe even next year, I mean, unless they really bring a lot of these guys up and sort of rush them, which they claim they're not going to do. I don't know how ready a lot of these guys are going to be next year either, but that's what I'm looking forward to, just the progression of the young players.
Yeah, I'm confident next year we see a lot of it. I mean, next year we should really see Max Fried and Sean Newcomb at a minimum, I think, in the starting rotation. And Blair or Whistler could be there too. I assume Rio Ruiz next year, Dustin Peterson next year, possibly.
Obviously, Ozzy.
Oh, and Ozzy, right, of course, and Ozzy. Yeah, I mean, I think the next year – I think next year will be a big, big change for to the young guys.
And with that, are you concerned? And I know, obviously, we'll talk about this next year. But I mean, are you concerned that there'll be a big step back next year if they do take steps forward in the win column this year?
Yeah, hard to say. It depends on how good they've looked, you know, and surely a bunch of we will see a bunch of those guys at the end of the season like we saw Dansby, I would assume. So that, you know, we will have some data points to really look at. I don't think it has to be a drop off.
And they might go out and actually bring in some big time free agents to fill some holes.
Right. Like third base or catcher or something for next year.
Yep.
All right. So, guys, let's get to Braves predictions for 2017. So, Hammy, we'll start with you. The Braves open up SunTrust Park with a series against the Padres. So, Ham, who gets the first hit at SunTrust Park?
Will Myers, batting third for the Padres.
Yeah, not a bad call. Curtis?
I'm going with Manuel Margot, ooh, batting second for the Padres.
Oh.
And let's remember the rotation projects that R.A. Dickey will get the start at the home opener. Hmm. Very exciting.
Who's leading off for the Padres?
Janikowski.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, the kicker for the Raiders.
Yes.
That's yeah. So Chacin is their opening day starter.
Jules Chicken, baby.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So Ham, I'm with you. I've got Will Myers getting the first hit. All right, Curtis, the first home run hit at SunTrust Park.
I gotta go with Freddie Freeman.
Nice. He had his shot last night was awesome.
His shot last night was awesome.
Yeah.
And certainly smart to go with a lefty. Hammy, who do you got?
I have Will Myers. I say first inning homer given up to Will Myers from Dickey.
You love Will Myers.
I do now, all of a sudden.
And hate R.A. Dickey.
I do.
I'm going with a different lefty. I'm going with Nick Markakis.
Whoa.
So, Ham, I think you know the answer to this. Who hit the first homer at Turner Field?
Michael Turner.
Correct. Who was the pitcher that day?
For the Braves or for who?
Yeah. No, for the Braves.
Oh, I know this. I'm forgetting Curtis? It, though.
I don't know. Was it John Smoltz?
No, it was one of those fourth starter guys.
Yeah, it was Denny Nagel.
Denny Nagel. Oh, that's who I was going to say. Yeah. Arg.
Yep. And Chipper had the first hit. And by the way.
Yeah, and Mark Wohlers had the first save, I think.
Sorry, the guy's name is Jankowski. I know how people get mad at us when we butcher people's names.
So it's really not the
April Fools
from the,
yes,
from
April
the Raiders?
Travis Jankowski.
Every mistake we make today is an April Fool's joke.
That's right. Exactly.
And
right,
from Hammy, actually this point forward.
Yes.
Ham, over under?
Yep.
On Fulte's ERA at the end of the year, 4.25.
Under, baby. 3.6. I'm all
wow,
in on Fulte.
That's bold. All right, I got under at 4.1. Curtis?
What is that? Was that show Card Sharks? Over. Yeah. Over. Yeah. Under.
I love that show.
Under. 3.73.
Wow, that would be awesome. All right, Curtis, over under Freddie's home run total.
Over.
35. Yeah, 35.
Over. Yes, you said, well, you wrote down 32, so I wrote down 35. Over on that one.
Let's call it 34.5 is the
yes.
line.
There you go. All right. Hammy, what about you?
I say under.
Monster.
32.
Hammy's last show, everybody.
okay. Everyone will be happy to know.
I'm over at 37. Ham, over under Matt Kemp's home run total, 24.
Over. I'm back. 26. Can I stay on the show?
Yeah, you can stay. Thank you. All right, Curtis.
When he gets traded, we'll think about that, Ham. I am also over 28.
Wow. Yeah, I've got under a 22 because I do hate Matt Ham.
Mm. All right.
Curtis, over under Dansby's batting average and on base percentage, 265, 325.
Sorry, it's like Jeopardy. I'm supposed to wait for you to ask the full question.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Jump.
Stop letting people know that we shared these beforehand.
What?
Yes.
Steve basically copied
all
my
answers. Shocked. See, I don't read anything prior. That's the way it makes it fresh for me. I'm over on both 280, 340.
Wow. Hammy, how about you?
The year, baby.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm with Curtis. 275, 345. Over on both.
All right. I'm over 278, 333.
500.
Yeah, right. That's right. All right, Ham, true or false, Adonis Garcia is the starting third baseman on July 1st.
True.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Curtis, you.
Same. True.
Stevie, do you even need to put your answer down?
Yes. I'm a false.
He listens
Who is it?
It's Rio Ruiz will be starting third baseman by July.
Not going to happen.
Got it.
All right,
Adonis
Curtis.
Garcia wakes up and plays Shake It Off by Taylor Swift and thinks of you, Steve. Haters are going to hate.
Curtis, true or false, Brandon Phillips is the starting second baseman on August 1st, so right after the trade deadline.
False.
Hammy?
Yeah, false. Aussie baby.
Yeah, false as well. And it's going to be sort of an ugly breakup with Brandon Phillips, I think. Ooh. All right, Hammy, over under Braves wins 83.
Under 80.
All right, Curtis.
Under 78.
Mm. All right, I'm over at 84.
What a surprise.
I know.
110.
Come on, I'm not crazy. I had 105 earlier this morning, but. All right, so guys, postseason predictions. So let's give our division winners. Wild card winners. We'll start there, and then we'll jump to the World Series. Curtis, how about you for the American League?
American League: Boston in the East, Cleveland in the Central, Texas in the West. Wild card teams: Toronto and Houston.
All right, Hammy, what do you got for the AL?
I have some similar stuff there. I've got Red Sox, Indians, and Astros as the three division winners, and then I've got Blue Jays and the Mariners for the two wild cards.
All right. I've got very similar. Red Sox, Indians, Astros, and then for the wild card, Rangers and Blue Jays. All right, Curtis, you for the NL.
Nationals, Cubs, Dodgers, with the wild card team being the Giants and the Cardinals.
All right, I've got Nationals, Cubs, Dodgers, Mets, and Cardinals for the wild card. Hammy?
Very similar. Nats, Cubs, Dodgers, Giants, Cardinals. I don't love the Mets like you do, Steve.
He was just on Mets musings.
He was. He was. Traitor.
Yeah, but I was infiltrating and stuff, giving them bad info.
Sure.
You know? But it's true, folks. Go out and check out Mets Musings. Yes, Gary, absolutely. Who does that podcast, very nice guy.
Yes.
All right. I will start with the World Series prediction. So I've got the Red Sox facing the Dodgers and the Red Sox winning it all. Hammy?
Great. It'll be really bearable up here if that happens. I've got the Indians redemption over the Cubs. Indians defeat the Cubs.
Curtis?
Yeah, poor Boston. They really do need another championship.
They really
It'll have
do.
Been
Such
about like 10 months since they had one.
Yeah, it's been forever.
I have Indians over Dodgers, Cleveland breaking their curse in 2017.
I like it. All right, guys. Well, happy opening day. I cannot wait for Monday. I mean, I know, it's going to be a 500 season, a little above, a little below, but I'm really just so excited for the season to see these guys and, you know, start enjoying the weird whatever that is of the new stadium and seeing how balls bounce off the brick and the corners in the outfield and just all that stuff. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that is the show. We are back weekly, Sunday nights throughout the season and into the Braves playoff run in October. remember, we're at our new home of Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. As always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the-